The New Testament lesson comes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. The word of the Lord. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work with you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This ends the New Testament lesson. Thanks be to God.
Has anybody ever heard the phrase, location, location, location? Have you heard it? Have you used it? Do you know where it came from? I'll tell you. It popped up almost a century ago, and it came from Great Britain. People were trying to sell a house, and so they used that phrase, location, location, location. This is the place for you to live. This is the best place you could be. Well, today's scripture passage doesn't take place in a house. Sort of, it does, doesn't it? It takes place in the temple, the house of God. The day before our story begins, I feel like I need to recap just a little bit. Jesus had come into Jerusalem, and Jesus was riding on a donkey. He went to the temple, and I'm sure everybody thought, oh, this is going to be great. He's coming to the temple, but this is what he did. He overturned the tables, because when he got there, people were exchanging money, and they were making money, and they were using the temple as a marketplace. And he flipped the tables over. And after that, he cursed a fig tree. So the Jewish leaders were not happy. They weren't happy at all. This is not who they expected to come into their place. This is not who they expected to be seeing. This is not the attitude, and this is not what we expect after somebody that we thought might be our help and salvation. So after all of that, we have today's scripture. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 23. Hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, I'll ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, then he will say to us, well, then why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. And so they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? Says Jesus. A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And the son answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second and said the same. And the son answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him. This is the word of the Lord. And he wondered why they were upset. No, he didn't wonder at all, did he? Jesus knew exactly what would happen when he came into Jerusalem. Jesus knew exactly who would listen and who wouldn't. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. And so that's where we are today. We're kind of looking at what it is and how it is that Jesus acted and talked the way he did. Many, many years ago, somebody was interviewing Dr. Phil, my guess is when Dr. Phil was somewhat of a great celebrity, and they asked him, you've interviewed many, many, many people. Who would you really like to interview? And he answered, Jesus. I would love to sit down and ask Jesus questions. The person who was reading this said, I don't think he really understood or understands who Jesus is. Did he really think that was going to be a good thing? Did he really think that if he asked Jesus, tell me about your life, that Jesus would say, oh, I'm so glad you asked, Phil. I've been dying to tell somebody. Well, this is where I was born, and this is what I did, and this is what. It was sort of clear that Dr. Phil didn't really know who Jesus was, because here is the thing. For all of us, whether we're a rabbi or Dr. Phil or those of us sitting in this building today or people around the world, Jesus always, always calls us to see the world with new eyes and to change. And then here is the scary part, because especially the powerful, those who have power, those who have, who really can control things, those are the ones that Jesus was the most strict. Some of us sitting in here think, well, see, shoo, I don't have power. And yet, in the economy of the world, just by the fact, again, location, 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 the fact that we live in this country, we have power. Anyone who has ever traveled outside of the United States knows. Sometimes we're met with derision. Oh, those Americans, they think they know everything. They think they can do everything. They think they're so special. It's kind of like, you know, well, we have power. And that's what makes this text just a little bit tricky for us. The goal of the religious leaders was two. Number one, they wanted to maintain their power and their privilege. They had a place in the landscape of their towns and cities, and they did not want to lose it. They wanted to hang on to that power. But they also, and here might have been even one of the most powerful pieces that drove them, they wanted to trap Jesus. Jesus had the reputation of loving the people that these religious leaders didn't want to love. Jesus had the reputation of being humble and kind and yet direct and pushy. And so they were trying their best to trap him. That's what these questions were about at the very beginning of this passage. Let me ask you, whose authority you think you can do all these things, and you can direct, and you can tell people, and you can curse fig trees, and you can cleanse the temple. Where do you think you get that power? And Jesus turns it back on them. Like any fantastic teacher, not with an answer, but with another question to move us on. But here is the good news. Well, maybe for some of us. This is the piece that I want to hold on to and I want to remember more than anything, that Jesus calls us to see the world in a new way, to see with new eyes, not to rely on our memory, not to rely on what we've always been told or what we've always believed, but to open our eyes and see something new. Several years ago, I was so privileged to be able to go to Liberia to help them because they needed help. They had just been through this amazing civil war, and when I say amazing, in not the good way, they had lost all of their electricity, they had lost all their power, many of them had lost their lives, and some of them were maimed and lost parts of their arms and parts of their legs. And they were trying to survive. And so, in our mistaken thinking, we're going to go help them. And when we got there, for those 3 weeks that I got to stay in Liberia, and I lived without electricity, and I lived where you couldn't just drink any water. It had to be only bottled water because my system couldn't handle it. For all of us who thought we were doing something good for them, we realized when we got home that they had been teaching us. They had been teaching us, and they had been reminding us that this world isn't about just the powerful and the mighty. That this world is about how we love Jesus. That this world is about seeing everything in a new way. Everything. That's hard for me to do. I've lived all these years thinking just this way, but now I am convicted. How do I see things in a new way? So, we look at the parable that Jesus taught. In my Bible, it says the parable of the two sons. And what would happen, like with all good parables, I believe, Jesus asks us to put ourselves within the parable. And so what would happen if you put yourself in the shoes of the priests and the elders? What would happen if you listened to this parable through their ears, knowing that, you know, this Jesus is tricky and Jesus is trying to catch us up? Well, we have a tendency to want everything the same. We have a tendency, and if you don't think that that's true, you can ask Rick and me. Just try to change the bulletin. It's fun, isn't it, Rick? It truly is fun. And sometimes we even say, we wonder who's going to tell us that that's really not the way it should go. We like things the same. We like things predictable. And yet Jesus came, and this parable tells us, Jesus came to mix it up. Jesus says there are some people in this world who say no, no, no to God. And we think that they're absolutely, well, those are the people we put on our prayer list, isn't it? The people that we need to pray for. And Jesus says, just relax. Let it work. This last weekend, when I was back in my hometown, a place that I lived from third grade until, well, basically out of college, I had to use my GPS map to get around. Now, it doesn't help that that my hometown is, I believe, the traffic circle capital of the world. And they have put them in so many places that it has redirected all of traffic and all of thinking. And I could remember, okay, I know this is where my parents lived, and I know this is my way to get to Meijer, and yet nothing looked familiar or the same. So I had to use my map. It was fantastic. It was fantastic in that frustrating way that you wanted to say, oh, why can't I remember? That's what Jesus does. And that's what Jesus asks all of us to do. Jesus asks us to see things with new eyes and envision things that we never thought could be. And then we remember that Jesus' questions really are not about answers. Jesus didn't ask these questions to get an answer. Which of the two did the will of the Father? It's a trick question. Until we look, and we look at the story. Because Jesus says, and Jesus calls, and Jesus reminds and cajoles us to be transformed, to be something new, to be something different, to be the person that says, no, I will never do that. And then as time goes on, finds myself doing it. God calls us to that. God calls us to be transformed in our mind and in our body. And because there are so many people who have done that, Jesus could say, there are prostitutes and tax collectors going to heaven ahead of you. Some might say, well, of course, they needed to be changed. They needed, their lives were broken, and their wills and their minds and their spirits were broken, and they needed to be healed. And I guess I really don't need to be healed. But this says, yes. Yes, you do. There is always something that holds me back. There's always something that I can change because God calls us to change. That's very scary for many of us, isn't it? We've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. I can remember the first time we had to have our big family Christmas celebration not on Christmas Day. I thought my father's head was going to explode because we have always done it this way. But that was before my sister and her husband had a family and had another set of in-laws to look for. Jesus calls us to be transformed in the tiny things, yes, but also to have our hearts broken. To have our hearts changed and to have us see the tax collectors and prostitutes as just like us, the people who need to be redeemed by God, who need to know that God loves us so much that God will do anything. God sent His Son Jesus. So, what about you? How does God call you to change? How has God let your heart be broken and opened up to new and different experiences that will bring you joy? Maybe not right now, maybe not immediately. Well, for those of us that are in the midst of change, for those of us who are thinking about it, be assured of this. The God of Israel, who gave Jesus his authority, is the exact same God of Israel who welcomes the sinners and the prostitutes. Maybe that sounds too harsh, and maybe in your mind you are thinking, oh, Laura, that's too far. Yet, I take some comfort in knowing that those times that I am at my worst, God sees me as a better person, the better person that I can be. God sees that in the disrupting of everything that's been written in stone, that people, particularly powerful people, may be able to see and live in the world in a new way. In just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion together. As the body of Christ is broken, as the blood of Christ is shed, all of that is it so that our eyes may be opened as well, and that we can live in solidarity and peace, not to the world, but to Christ's example of love and compassion to everyone in the world. May it be so for us today. May it be so for us every day when we wake up and pray, oh God, help me be just a little bit better today. Thank you for your love. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.